Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Love's Correction. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
2 Samuel 12, verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. Now, here we are again. Does Nathan have a right to speak into David's life? He does. He stands in a place similar to what, well, almost identical to what Samuel stood in. He stands at the forefront of the prophet's ministry in the whole nation. And he came to David. And he said to him, David, King David, he said that there were two men in a city. He's telling him like this account that happened in his kingdom. He said, there was a rich man and there was a poor man, and the rich man had exceeding flocks and herds. The poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb. He brought it and nourished it up. It grew up with him and his children. It ate of his own food and drank of his cup, lay in his bosom, and was to him like a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man. See, this is a picture of wayward desires that just come along and show up in life. Traveler to the rich man. And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, and took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man that has done this thing, other translations say, is worthy of death. He deserves to die. He'll restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and he had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Now, I reckon they're in the throne room. I understand David, he ain't the president. He ain't the prime minister. He is the king. He has absolute authority. If he says, all he's got to do is look over to his guards and go, and you're dead. And in kingdoms in that day, people died all the time for just saying the wrong thing and looking the wrong way at the king. So Nathan had to be secure in God to come in here and do this. And I suspect it was kind of a uncomfortable, tense moment. It aggravated David. And said, the Lord will deal with you so many times like this because people tend to judge others' sin differently than their own. They won't let themselves slide on stuff because they understand all the, what's the word I'm looking for? Extenuating circumstances surrounding their situation. But other people, that's just sin, and I don't know what's wrong with you. And you see so many things in this about correction. When something comes up and it makes you so mad, it just goes all over you. Watch out. Why? Why did that go all over you like that? Why did that make you so mad for them to bring that up? Because you have a problem of it. You have unresolved issues in that area. You're guilty. That's why he was all caught up in there. He said, that sorry rascal, he did what? He's rich. He had all his sheep. He goes, takes that man's little pet lamb and gives it to the traveler instead of using one of his own. He ought to die. Of course, that's a strong sentence for over a sheep. He said, he ought to die. Prophet said, that's you. You are the man. But now look at his response. This is what I want you to see. He said, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, verse 7, I anointed you king over Israel. Does that sound similar to you? Have you heard that before? Some of the same words that Samuel told Saul. I anointed you. king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and wives, gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given you such and such things. Stop right here. Stop right here. I don't care how miserable you are. I don't care how pulled you may be or tempted you may be. You got to believe that if you'll stay with God, He'll satisfy you. Did you hear me? You got to have confidence. Somebody said, well, my marriage is it's totally unsatisfying. Yeah, but God can take the bitter and make it sweet. God can do impossible things. You got to believe that God can satisfy you. He can give you everything that you ever thought you desired and wanted in the right relationships and situations where you're supposed to be. No matter how impossible it seems, you got to have that much faith in Him. And you see, that's what the Lord was telling him. You did not have to go take another man's wife. If you didn't have enough, I would have given you more. If your present relationship wasn't enough, I would have given you more in what you've got. I would have added to you whatever was necessary. You did not have to go take what was somebody else's.
Yeah, that's right.
How many believe that you can trust God like that?
Amen.
In all of our lives, there can be times when you are dissatisfied. You may be miserable. And it may look absolutely hopeless that you could be happy and completely fulfilled if you stay in the right places and situations. But friend, give God some time.
Yes.
Give Him some time. Don't bail. Don't jump. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. Don't grab something and steal something that's not yours. Don't do it. Don't do it. Wait on God. Be strong. Control yourself. Wait on God and say, Lord, I know You're going to satisfy me. I know You're going to take care of me. I know You know me better than I know myself. And I know You know. I know You care if I'm hurting and if I'm not fulfilled. And I believe that You can do it. Whatever it takes, I believe that. And I'm going to stay. I'm going to wait on You and I'm going to trust You. He'll do it. I said, He'll do it.
Yes.
Give Him time. Say it out loud, give Him time.
Give Him time.
Wait on Him.
Wait on Him.
See, don't just jump and run and jump out of the will of God and jump out of the place where you're supposed to be. Jump out of the relationships you're supposed to be in. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Say it out loud again. I'm going to give Him time.
I'm going to give Him time.
I'm going to wait on Him.
And I'm going to wait on Him.
I'm going to look to Him.
I'm going to look to
Him. He'll take care of me.
He'll take care of me.
He'll satisfy me.
He'll fulfill me.
I'll let patience have her perfect work
in my life,
and I will wind up
complete
and entire, wanting nothing. Yeah, that's faith. God's done that for me in so many areas. So many areas. Thank God. Verse 9, wherefore have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? You killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you've taken his wife to be your wife. You killed him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Have you ever read that story? I mean, that's a sad story. This man was faithful. He was loyal to David. Oh, man. And to execute a man like that to get his wife? You know what the Lord told in describing how the man stole the little pet lamb is exactly what happened. He said, now the sword is not going to depart from your house because you've despised me. And he goes on. Verse 13 is David's response. He's the king, legally. Physically, he could do anything he wants to do right now. He could tell this man to shut up. He could have him killed. He could have him sent out of the country. But what did he do? Verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And I believe this was from the bottom of his heart. He probably came off of his throne. He from what the Lord said to him next, you can see he figures just like he passed sentence and said that man deserves to die, he realized, I deserve to die. And he figured the Lord would be just. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. How many know when you really repent? When you really repent. And when some of the things happen that the Lord told him was going to happen. Tragedy in his house with his kids, his own son rising up against him. He had to run. Had to run out of his own home and out of his own kingdom because of his son. And while he was leaving, a man named Shimei came and cursed him and throwed rocks at him. And David's bodyguard said, you're not going to let that dead dog curse you. Let me go over there and take off his head. He said, no, nuh-uh. No, I've sinned. Let him curse. And he pulled his shoes off and he was barefoot and he covered his head and he left. But because of his humility, God brought him back. I said, God brought him back. God forgave him. It's terrible sin. But God forgave him and spared him and let him live out his full length of days. The Bible says in the end, David was old and full of years and rich and had honor. He died an old man in his bed with honor and got to secure his son on his seat after such terrible sin. Why? Are you with me through all this now? Why? Why? Because he received the correction. As hard as it was, he looked at it and he said, oh, I've sinned. Oh, oh. He despaired. You can see serious repentance even after this. He saw it. He admitted it. He didn't fight it. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to blame anybody else. He confessed his sin. Basically, he said, I did it. It's sin. It's awful. It's despicable. Have mercy. And instantly, I mean, right there on the spot, God said through the prophet, you won't die. Mercy. How many understand God loves you? Yeah. Even when you've done despicable things, He still loves you. He still wants to pull you out. He still wants to spare you. He still wants you to get the things that He's planned for you down the road, even though you've sinned so terribly. And if you'll be corrected, if you'll repent, you can still have some things after you've blown it terribly. Can you say amen? Amen?
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Love's Correction, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Sarasota, Florida on Monday, February 1st, as we begin the Greater Faith Conference. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.